Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
All right, welcome to the Side Action. This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So this is our special Sweet 16 edition. We had a great outing last week at a live event at the Four Shadows for the first round of the tournament. That was a fun time.
Yeah, great time to see some fans out there and some other patrons of the bar who were probably surprised to see us firing up the microphones in between the games. But some of them listened, and we even had some shout-outs, the Bradley Braves fan.
That's right.
And the old guy in the corner of the bar who was asking about where all these teams are from.
Fairleigh Dickinson. We're like, oh, that was a stumper. Give me something I knew. Yeah, that's true. And we're going to actually have another watch party this Friday at the Four Shadows again. This is actually for the Wegs pool. We're going to be there for the Sweet 16 matchups. It'll be starting at 6 o'clock. And we're going to hit up Rob again to do another live segment at 5 o'clock. So hopefully you'll be able to catch that on Instagram Live. And hopefully I'll get it on Facebook Live this time. But that was a really successful thing that we did. And Action did a great job of kind of muting the noise in the background. And if you can listen to our episode, I guess it'd be 31, that was our last episode, it sounds great. You can hear what happened at the bar last week.
Yeah, I'm excited to get back on live Friday. We can talk about the results from Thursday night and then touch on the Friday night games and also probably pick out some of the spreads that should be available for the Saturday regional finals.
Yeah, the Elite Eight games on Saturday should be out by then. So super exciting. I know that the first week into the tournament is the most fun because it's 48 games in 4 days, but this is really good basketball. The Sweet 16 and Elite Eight is probably my favorite. Usually it outshines the Final Four, but we'll see about it this year. It's a loaded group.
Yeah, it's incredible how many of these top line teams won over the weekend. We've got 12 out of the top 12 seeds are still left, and then two more on the four line, and then followed up by Auburn, which was a five seed, and then Oregon, who's been on a miraculous run, which I think we'll talk about later.
You definitely will. I heard something on VSiN they keep on talking about. I think the top 14 teams in KenPom are in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Top 14s in the Action Index.
Ooh, too. Okay. A little preview, folks. All right, well, let's jump in a little bit. I wanted to go over a slight recap of the first weekend's actions of the first two rounds, just kind of what happened in terms of the favorites and the dogs and the totals. As we kind of talked about a little bit on Thursday when we were live, it was definitely a dog-friendly environment in the first round where 21 of the 32 games had the underdog covering the spread. That's incredible.
Yeah, the dogs were barking early on Thursday. It started out with Yale coming back against LSU in the second half. And then New Mexico State was oh so close to the upset in that game. That would have been epic.
That's right. And overall, you had 12 seed upsets. But actually, in terms of the spread, you had 11 outright upsets in terms of the spread. So that's definitely, you know, most average bettors, the square bettors that we call them, they probably were going crazy on Thursday and Friday. But in terms of a total perspective, it was just kind of split. It was 15 overs to 17 unders, so it was pretty much split. And then what we always talk about, that first half over didn't really over under. It wasn't under for the most part. It was 19 overs in the first half in those first 32.
Yeah, I bet a few of the first half unders on Thursday and Friday and didn't fare quite as well as I had hoped. Thankfully, a lot of my sides and second half wagering came through for me, and I ended up really good, up quite a few units on Thursday. And then I think I told you I hit a three-team parlay on Friday with a couple of underdogs in there in Iowa, Irvine, and UCF. So it was a great start to my weekend, and then followed it back up Saturday and Sunday with two winning days.
Look at this guy. He's in fuego.
How about yourself?
Well, I was doing fine early. I was 3-1 going into the weekend, and then the only one, you know, as we talk about totals, the game I wasn't going to bet any more games because I'm like, oh, I'm up. I finally won some money. But I was so – when I saw that game, I guess it was the was it Auburn-Kansas? Yeah, the Auburn-Kansas game. I thought for sure the second half under was the play. I think it was 78 or something like that. figuring that Auburn would run some clock or something. Well, the teams came out and made 12 straight shots between each of them. They scored like 40 points in the first 6 minutes of the second half, and that doomed me in. They ended up going over by about 10 in the second half and over for the total for the game as well.
Yeah, that was a definitely high-scoring affair. That Auburn team can shoot the lights out, so we'll see them faring against North Carolina this week, and another high total, highest one on the board, actually.
Really high. So in the second round, unlike the first round, the favorites came back and kind of beat down the dogs. I had it at 12-3-1 overall for the round. So that was a struggle for the dogs. A lot of them were just blowouts. I mean, it was kind of not as exciting a basketball. And then for the over-unders, it was split again, 8-7 over-under, and then there was one push in there. And the first half overs came a little bit back to earth, but it's still 9-6-1 is what I had for it.
Yeah, not too bad. The favorites really claimed their stake over the weekend, and mm-hmm. a lot of those games on Saturday afternoon weren't that entertaining after Kentucky and Wofford started out the day in a close one, followed by Maryland and LSU.
Yeah, those
the rest
were
the of the games were blowouts.
Yeah, it was just one-sided. It was kind of sad. I was kind of like excited to watch some basketball, able to sit down in the evening and then just saw these blowouts. I mean, Sunday we had a great comeback by Iowa. Mm-hmm. That was one of those games that I don't even know what Tennessee was doing. But in the second half, Iowa was just pounding the glass and just killing them inside. And they really probably should have won the game, but
yeah,
they couldn't get it in overtime. And then obviously the Duke game, the Duke-UCF game, which was probably ultimately the game of the day. And man, it was close. UCF had them on the ropes. And actually, if they didn't fumble that one fast break, they would have gone up 6 points, probably won the game that way. And then obviously the offensive rebound by R.J. Barrett to put the dagger in the Golden Knights' heart.
Yeah, I was really on the edge of my seat for that one. It's probably the game of the tournament, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
If Dawkins had finished off that layup to go up six, I think that they would have iced the game easily. Mm-hmm. But he still had a couple chances to tip in at the very end of the game that rolled agonizingly close off the rim. I, for one, was cheering for UCF.
Of course.
Because all weekend I was hyping up to my family and friends that UCF could beat Duke. They could beat them.
They obviously could.
Unfortunately, I didn't put a bet on the money line, but I did see that one bet in New Jersey, I think it's Points Bet, did a promo yesterday where they're refunding all the money line bets on UCF in the game on Sunday.
What? Just for promotional purposes? Uh-huh. Well, obviously, because, I mean, it was so close. That's crazy. I mean, Aubrey Dawkins, you know, he had that monster game. He scored like 32 points. He was shooting the lights out. He was, as Johnny Dawkins' kid, you know.
Yep.
And, man, he had that tip in. I thought that was in for sure. Boy, that was nuts. But they survive in advance, so. Well, let's talk about your action index. You kind of did a little sneak preview. Why don't you go over it for the Sweet 16?
Yeah, so ran my numbers again yesterday, and turns out that 15 out of the 16 teams left are in the top 16 of the Action Index. Mm. Not that hard to believe, considering it matches the seeding and KenPom mm-hmm. as well. But I still have Gonzaga as my number one rated team, more than a point better than Duke. And they come in number two, North Carolina's three, and Michigan State has jumped into the top four in that four spot. So those are my top four teams looking ahead, and I think at least three of those teams may end up in the Final Four.
The team that jumps out here for me is Virginia at five, so I wonder what's the difference between KenPom and your Action Index, because Virginia's one in KenPom, so is it rebounding? Is that what you're attributing it to that?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I can pull it up here. Yeah, and it looks like a lot of the other contenders at the top of the list have by far larger rebounding adjustments. Mm-hmm. Virginia is kind of at the low end, at least in terms of the top five. And also, it looks like their turnovers is fairly low as well, although I know they don't turn the ball over. So.
Right, exactly. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, the bottom line is we're getting the cream of the crop here in the Sweet 16. Oregon is the only team that's sitting outside your top 16. And, I mean, to be honest with you, it'd be interesting to run the numbers only based on the last 10 games because they are just on a run. Their defense is incredible. And Pritchard is coming up with huge shots whenever he needs it. So that'll be an interesting game as well. That's Virginia and Oregon, of course. So.
Yeah, Oregon I do have at 33rd in my index currently. Hmm. So definitely a mismatch against Virginia, but I think they might give him a game.
Yeah, I think it should be a fun one to watch for sure. Well, let's just roll into the championship odds, which obviously were updated after the second round. And you still see Duke on top despite that big scare at plus 375, followed by Virginia at plus 405. The Zags at plus 485 and North Carolina at plus 800. There's your Boilers at plus 1,400.
Yeah, interesting to see Purdue in the top five of the odds board here.
It is weird.
I think that might have something to do with the hot shooting Carson Edwards.
Yeah, he had a big game. 42 points?
42 on Saturday night, yep.
And then we've got Kentucky at plus 1,700, Texas Tech plus 1,700, Michigan State plus 1,800, Michigan plus 2,000, Tennessee plus 2,100, maybe a little value there.
Mm-hmm.
Houston plus 2,400, the Auburn Tigers at plus 4,000, and then the rest of the group, Florida State, Virginia Tech, LSU, and Oregon, all plus 5,000 or higher. What value do you see out of this group?
Well, I'm probably not going to be betting any of these futures numbers. I've got a few tickets in my pocket from mm-hmm. previously in the year. And I also have quite a bit of money on Gonzaga through various pools,
right.
A couple of Calcuttas. So I'm definitely going to be riding my Zags money. If I were to pick a team from this list, it would probably be Texas Tech, though, mm-hmm. at 1,700. I think that they are going to beat Michigan. We'll talk about that later. And
right.
then I do believe that they could hang with Gonzaga a little bit and potentially face off in the Final Four against a non-Duke team. And if they get to the championship, they could definitely take home the crown.
They could. And they did play Duke early in the season as well. You know, they did in Madison Square Garden and hung with them for about 30 minutes of that game. So we've seen that before. To me, it's not a great value, but plus 800 for North Carolina would be the pick for me, only because with PJ Washington potentially out for the tournament for Kentucky, we don't know yet,
mm-hmm.
but that's kind of key. It really opens the path up for North Carolina. I'm assuming they'll get past Auburn, and then if they have to play Houston, I mean, they got a great chance just to be in the Final Four, and they're only one win away from the championship. So
yeah, that's spot on. I mean, without PJ Washington, North Carolina has to be a heavy favorite to get out of that region.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All righty. Let's go on down to the spots. I mean, we've got just eight games here to review. Thursday, we're going to start off with Florida State versus Gonzaga, as you mentioned. Gonzaga's 7-point favorite. The total is 147. I'm going to start off by saying that, you know, this is a rematch from last year. This is actually in this game, the Sweet 16 game, where Florida State knocked off Gonzaga. Killian Tilly did not play in that game.
Yep.
That's key, but they beat him pretty badly, 75-60. This year, I think that Florida State's going to hang. I don't think they're going to beat them, but I think they're going to hang. So I actually already bet this with the 7. I think I got 7.5, actually.
Yeah, I think it was at 7.5 at one point this week. I know that Phil Kofer is definitely going to be out again for Florida State. He was out all last weekend and then tragically found out he lost his father after that first round win.
Yeah, I heard that.
He's not a huge threat for the Seminoles, but definitely a factor on the defensive end, which they could use against that number one rated Gonzaga offense.
Mm-hmm.
They're rated number one in 2-point field goal percentage, which I think is where they're really going to score some points in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I mentioned to you earlier, the line seems about right to me. I do have Gonzaga as 8.5 points better, but they do scare me a little bit as a Gonzaga futures owner.
Sure.
This is the one game in this region that I thought would set up for Gonzaga to struggle a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, I think they're going to pull out the victory. But I do think that I would lean with you towards taking Florida State in the points.
These are two of the biggest front lines in the game. It's going to be a clash, and Florida State plays like 11 guys. So we'll see what happens if, you know, Hachimura and Tilly and Brandon Clark, who went off in the last game, can hold up against that big front line. So it should be a really exciting game to watch on Thursday. You had an angle on the total, right?
Yeah, I do like the total, though. Currently sits at 147, and Gonzaga does lead the nation, scoring over 88 points per game,
mm-hmm.
and the most efficient offense at 1.25 points per possession. But I think that both of these teams are very stout defensively. Florida State is 10th ranked in defensive efficiency, and Gonzaga is in there at 17. And they've been playing a bit slower pace lately.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that Florida State is going to want to halt this game down and grind it out a little bit to give themselves a better chance to win it. So I think Florida State's going to try and slow the pace, and we'll all add up to this game going under 147.
Yeah, I like that pick, too. I think that's a good handicap. The next one is going to be your Boilers. I'm sure you're excited. They're playing against Tennessee. Tennessee is currently a 1-point favorite. The total is 146. And I should have said the last one. The last game was in Anaheim, right?
Yep, that's okay. Right.
This Purdue game is going to be in Louisville. The KFC Yum. Is that really KFC Yum?
The KFC Yum Center, of course.
So I see that you've highlighted Tennessee in this one. That's against your alma mater.
Yeah, I like Tennessee in this game. There's no reported injuries. Both teams appear to be healthy. And I have them as almost dead even in my metrics. And they both come in with a top five adjusted offense and in the 25 to 30 range on defense. So really across the board, they have very similar numbers.
They do.
But I just think that Purdue is going to have a really tough time matching up with Grant Williams on the inside. And I'm interested to see who Coach Painter elects to check the versatile big guy. Mm. I'm guessing it's going to be a combination of Grady Eifert, Trevion Williams, and Nojel Eastern, even. Oh,
shout out to Nojel Eastern.
Nojel's got the size to bang with him, although Williams probably has a few pounds on him.
Oh, yeah.
The problem is going to be if they focus on Williams, then Tennessee's Admiral Schofield is going to go off.
That's right.
So I think it's going to be really difficult for the Boilers to stop both of them. And although Carson Edwards is on absolute fire,
he
shot 9 out of 16 from the three-point line on Saturday night and 42 points. But I think it's going to be really difficult for him to continue at that pace. And I think ultimately that's the only way that Purdue can win this game. And I don't expect it's going to happen.
Right. I just see this game. There are even in all the metrics. But when you look at the teams, Edwards is the primary scorer and really sole scorer for Purdue. They don't really have a secondary scorer. They got some guys who get some hits, some threes.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Tennessee, let's say Williams doesn't score. They got Schofield. They got Bone. They got Lamont Turner with big shots on Sunday. I just think that they have too many weapons and too many guys that can score. And even though Purdue is probably a little bit better on defense, push comes to shove, Tennessee's going to get theirs. And I do think they're going to win. If this is an even pick, I definitely would go Tennessee or even with the minus one. So,
yeah, and just a quick update on that number. It looks like across the board here, I'm looking at Tennessee now 1.5-point favorites. So looks like there is a little bit of money coming in on the favorites.
Somebody's listening to the podcast already. Okay, the next game is one of the best games, I think, out there on the tournament, and it's going to be Texas Tech against Michigan. Michigan's a 2-point favorite. The total is 126. This one will also be in Anaheim. So before we jump into your handicap, just to kind of give you an idea about these two teams, these are the two best defensive teams in the country, related at least rated in KenPom, number one and two. So this is going to be a slugfest, no doubt. Really, they're very similar team in the fact that they put defense first, the offenses are okay. So what do you see in this handicap action?
Well, I really like Texas Tech. As you mentioned, they both have the best defenses in the league. But I think the main difference in this is going to be the Red Raiders' effective field goal percentage on offense, where they're going to have a big edge. They're going to be shooting the ball against Michigan. And I know that Michigan does defend the three-point line extremely well, fifth-ranked defending the three. I think that Texas Tech is going to have a little bit of an advantage. And ultimately, I think their offense is going to be one that wins out over Michigan's offense.
Mm-hmm.
Another big edge that they have is on the defensive side of the ball is their block percentage, led by Tariq Owens, who has an impressive 2.4 blocks per game.
Wow.
And I think that he and the other Red Raiders big men are probably going to disrupt some of Michigan's shots inside and ultimately get the win in this game and the cover. I also picked out that Charles Matthews has come back recently from injury, and he did play pretty well on Friday versus Montana. But in the other games, he had a very paltry 5, 8, 2, and 9 points against the bigger competition. So I think that Texas Tech is going to hold him down, and they're going to win this game.
We've been talking at least the last half of the season, that Texas Tech has vastly improved on offense. So the rating may be, I think it's in the 30s or something like that in KenPom, 33 on offense. They used to be 100, as we've talked about in several podcasts. So they've improved vastly. Like Oregon's numbers have improved tremendously, and we'll talk about them next. I think Texas Tech actually offensively, if you look at their last 10-15 game splits, they're going to be much better than Michigan. So it's not just an even shot. So I know you like the money line here. I would go there too if I didn't make my other bets. So I'm on it. I picked them in my bracket as well. I do think Texas Tech's going to take them down. And like you said before, the outside shooting and also just kind of the variety of the offense on Texas Tech is a little better than Michigan. And really, the inside play is the difference for me, too.
Yeah, it's definitely tough to beat Beeline in March.
Yes.
We've seen that the past couple of years. But Chris Beard and these guys were in the Elite Eight last year.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, without the major injury to Evans, I think that they probably would have made it to the Final Four.
Yeah, they played Villanova. Mm-hmm.
It looks like the number is about plus 110 right now. So okay. That's what you're going to be getting there on the Texas Tech money line.
Too late. Yes. Yeah. Spread's going down. And then did you mention the total? Did you go under?
I do like the total in this game as well. Right now, currently 126. Both of these teams are extremely slow paced.
Mm-hmm.
232 and 317 in pace for both of them. And we already talked about number one and two defending. Yeah. But they also are extremely good at defending the 3-point line. 17th and 5th ranked. And I think that both teams are going to struggle to score, and they're both going to end up this game in the 50s, going well under the total of 126.
That's right. I like that, too. The last game on Thursday will be Oregon versus Virginia back at the KFC Yum Center. Virginia's an 8-point favorite. The total here is 118.5. That is a really low total. And why that is because, obviously, Virginia traditionally has really good defense. They're rated in KenPom as the third best defense behind those other two teams we just mentioned. But Oregon, man, they're balling too. They're at 15th in KenPom, but again, they've improved vastly. So what do you see in this one, Action?
Well, these two teams are impressive on the defensive end, you mentioned earlier, but Oregon over the last 10 games has now gone 10 in a row straight up wins and 10 straight covers against the spread. And in the last three games, they've beaten Washington by 20, Wisconsin by 18, and Cal Irvine by 19.
Hey, man.
Although Cal Irvine was a good team we talked about.
They were. They went on a 16-0 run to start that half, so you know Oregon can have scoring.
Yeah,
drafts.
I think they even took a lead
they
early
did.
In the second
they
half.
They did. They're up by two.
An incredible run by the Ducks, and I think it's all been fueled by their change in defensive scheme a little bit. They've gone to this zone switching defense, which has thrown off many of their opponents. And the big guy inside,
my guy, Kenny Wooten. This guy's a future pro, there's no question.
I mean, his ability to block shots is like nothing I've ever seen before. So, I mean, these two teams, they're going to struggle to get to 118, I think. I'm not going to give out that as a play. In fact, I did take a dabble in the over already. But I'm going to have a hard time getting in front of this Oregon team.
Right.
As much as I would like to play Virginia in this game, I have just seen this Oregon team rattle off cover after cover after cover. And the way that Virginia played in round one versus Gardner-Webb and then letting a decently big lead against Oklahoma slip away in the second half, I don't think I can be laying it with Virginia. Although I'm looking at the numbers now and this spread has ballooned out to 8.5 and it looks like there's some reverse line movement on the Cavaliers.
Well, the thing is that I mean, Virginia is my pick for the national title, at least in the pool, because it's contrarian. We don't know if they are going to be able to come through in this round. This is where they've kind of fallen flat before, or at least in maybe in the Elite Eight too. Oregon is red hot. I've seen this team play several times lately because when I was deciding to jump on them in the tournament, I wanted to go back and look at some games, and they played so good against teams in the Pac-12. And everybody was saying, well, as you said, oh, they're so weak. You know, it's a weak conference. And they come out and just destroy Wisconsin the second half. The one thing I will say about Oregon, if they're going to actually win this game outright, I think they have more athleticism than Virginia. Not just Wooten. They've got other guys that are just scrappy and can make plays like Pritchard. But they've got other guys that come in and rebound, and they have great length on the perimeter. So Virginia's going to have to find something, and I'm thinking DeAndre Hunter's the only guy who can make things happen for them, although my big guy who in the player pool is playing really good. I can't even pronounce.
Diakite.
That's right.
Mamadou Diakite.
Mamadou Diakite. He's killing it. But I think that, you know, Virginia's going to have to find ways to score, and it should be a low-scoring game, like you said. That 8.5 is going to be tough to cover, but I'm staying away.
Yeah, agreed. That is a big number to lay when the total in the game is 118.5, that's for sure.
No doubt. So we transition to the Friday games. The first game we're going to talk about is LSU versus Michigan State. This might actually be the last game in this one, but they're playing at the Capital One Arena in D.C. Oh, no, they're playing the early one. Michigan State is a 6-point favorite, and the total is 149. I got to be honest with the Action. I am all over Michigan State in this one. Six is kind of a big number, but there's a couple factors that I'm looking at in my handicap. One, Izzo's got 5 days to prepare for this LSU team. He's going to figure out a way to stop LSU's, you know, offensive rebounding prowess. And secondly, just the coaching mismatch between Izzo and the interim coach is in game is going to be tremendous. I know you have some statistics and information about the second halves for LSU since the Will Wade suspension.
Yeah, I dug into this a little bit, and I must say right off the bat, I'm right there with you. I do love Michigan State in this spot. I went back and looked at some of the in-game scores and how this LSU team has performed since Will Wade got sent to the locker room. Mm-hmm. And interim head coach Tony Benford took over. And as we talked about, they covered against Vanderbilt yep. in the last regular season game. And then the first game in the SEC tournament, they were up big at halftime.
They were.
And then ended up just getting blown out by Florida in the second half. Mm-hmm. They lost by 13 in the second half of that game. Mm-hmm. And then followed it up in the first round ahead big over Yale in the first half and lost the second half by 11. Mm-hmm. And then again on Saturday, they were up big against Maryland mm-hmm. and Mark Turgeon and the Terps came back and won the second half by 7.
They did.
So I'm going to be looking at betting on Michigan State live, especially if they get down early. Mm-hmm. And I'm probably going to be betting them in the second half, regardless of the number, unless it's just crazy.
Right, exactly. The other thing is you like the under in this one. 149 does seem like a big number for these teams. I know LSU has a very good offense in general, and mm-hmm. Tremont Waters, the point guard, is excellent. What do I get this for? LSU, yeah, I mean, they're 13th in offense, and Michigan State's 4th, but it seems like this is going to be kind of one of those heavyweight knockdown, drag-out physical games, so I can see that being an under.
Yeah, Michigan State enjoys a slower pace. They're 179th ranked in pace, and their defense is top 10. So mm-hmm. I think that they're going to control the pace of this game, and I think they're also going to dominate LSU on the glass. They're 24th ranked in offensive rebound and 86th defensively, mm-hmm. and LSU is far behind them in those metrics. So I like Michigan State to take control of this game on the glass and then likely slow the pace down too off those rebounds.
All right, we're on the same side. It's scary. The next game is Auburn versus North Carolina. This is, where is this game being played? I forgot. Kansas City, I think?
Yeah, Kansas City, Missouri.
That's right. And North Carolina is a 5-point favorite. The total is 163 that we're showing right now, but I know that's pretty dynamic.
Uh-huh.
And where do you like this one, action?
I'm all over North Carolina in this mm-hmm. game. It looks like they do have a couple of injuries. Garrison Brooks is probable with the tooth injury
okay.
that he suffered last week. And then also we've got Kenny Williams, who's questionable after he left
the last game with a hamstring. I saw that.
Mm-hmm. So Kenny Williams is definitely a big contributor for this team. I think he averages like 30 minutes a game. Mm-hmm. So definitely something that is good to monitor. But regardless of his availability for this game, I still like North Carolina, and 43% of Auburn's points come off three-pointers, but North Carolina is actually pretty good at defending the three-point line, mm-hmm. which is a little bit surprising to me. And I think that UNC has the defenders that can match up with these Tigers, and I think that Auburn is finally going to get cold. Mm-hmm. We saw in the last two games that they were shooting hot from three, and the biggest advantage North Carolina has is on the backboards.
Right.
They are 16th ranked in offensive rebounding, and Auburn is 333rd in defensive rebounding. The only player they have that rebounds is the big man, Chuma Okeke, mm-hmm. who leads the team with 6.7 rebounds, and the rest is really just by committee. Mm-hmm. I think that Luke May and the rest of these Tar Heels are just going to live on the glass, and they're going to be scoring lots of second chance points, and that will go a long way to covering this 5.
You saw in the New Mexico State game where Auburn held on for dear life that they got crushed on the glass against that team. New Mexico State plays a lot of players. So does North Carolina. They always have like 5 huge dudes on the bench that can run. So I agree with you. They're going to crush them on the glass. But more importantly, I think if the pace of play, I don't think Bruce Pearl is going to be smart and try to slow it down against this team.
Yeah.
If he tries to run against North Carolina, I think it actually plays into their hands. And the more points, the better for North Carolina. They love running and gunning. Kobe White he's a blur. He's really fast. And even though they've had advantage in the past, Jared Harper's been very quick. I think he's going to meet his match in Kobe White. So I think it's going to be a great game to watch because it'll be a lot of scoring. And that total of 163, I haven't bet it, but I think that's in danger.
Yeah, definitely. It's up to 164 right now.
Yeah. So it's on the rise.
A little late on that one, but going back, I think North Carolina is probably my favorite bet of Thursday and Friday.
All right, there you go. You heard it here. The next game is Virginia Tech versus Duke. That's also in D.C. Virginia Tech is getting 7 points in this one. The total is 144.5. You know, I already bet this one. I took Virginia Tech in the seven. We obviously watched Duke and what happened with UCF. No, Virginia Tech does not have Taco Fall. He's not going to get off the bench for Virginia Tech. But, I mean, they got – Blackshear is a good player. He's a big player. He can kind of command the rim. And Duke really doesn't have that guy. They've got a couple guys in Delorier and stuff like that that are kind of energy guys. But they don't really score inside. Obviously, Zion is incredible, but – I think Virginia Tech plays a good brand of ball that's going to compete against Duke, and they may not beat them, but they're going to stay within that 7 points for sure.
Yeah, I love the handicap. Jack White for Duke is questionable for this game. He missed the first two games of the tournament with a hamstring injury, and it's uncertain if he's going to go this week, although he probably won't be missed. Duke survived that scare against UCF, and I think a lot of pundits and media types out there are going to say that this is going to go a long way to motivating Duke, and they should bounce back this week against Virginia Tech, but I'm on the opposite side of that. I think this game against UCF just solidified in my mind, and hopefully Coach Buzz Williams, on how they're going to beat Duke on Friday. And that is simply to make them shoot three-pointers. Virginia Tech already plays that style of defense. They love to go under on ball screens and then clog the paint, forcing their opponents to shoot three-pointers at a very high rate. 50% of their opponents' field goals this year have come from the three-point line. And if Duke falls in love with that three, like I expect they will, they're going to continue to shoot poorly. 329th ranked in three-point shooting offense. And that's going to play right into the hands of the Hokies. They will need to focus on the glass a little bit. Duke is really good at offensive rebounding, 14th ranked, and Virginia Tech is a little bit lowly in their defensive rebounding numbers. But if they hold their own like they did in the first meeting, where they only got out-rebounded by three, I think that Virginia Tech is going to win this game. I've bet them plus the points, and it looks like there is a 7.5 available at five dimes.
Okay.
So if you want that. But I'm also taking a money line play with them, looking at plus 300 at Bovada to move on to the Elite Eight.
Look at this guy going all in. One of the things UCF did in their game was, and it was obvious late in the game, they actually had Taco Fall technically guarding Trey Jones. And he was basically just standing in the lane because Trey Jones really can't hit a jump shot.
Right.
That's the way Duke's going to have to win, is guys like Trey Jones are going to have to hit a shot. Somebody besides the big three, Cam Reddish, you know, R.J. Barrett. And actually, R.J. Barrett, I didn't even know what he was doing in the second half. He couldn't get open.
Yeah.
You know, UCF played an incredible brand of defense. So I think that's going to be the, basically, let's see if Zion can beat us and if those other guys can hit a jump shot, because they'll clog the lane, kick it out, and see what happens. But good for you taking that money line shot.
I'm going to have my maroon on Friday night at the bar, and we're going to be cheering on the Hokies. Let's go.
Go Hokies. All right, last game is Houston versus Kentucky. This is the other one in Kansas City. Kentucky right now is a 2.5-point favorite. The total is 134.5. But P.J. Washington, we don't know his status yet, and hopefully they'll come clear with it tomorrow. But to me, if P.J. Washington's not playing, I'm taking Houston. I might even take the money line on Houston. I don't think that Kentucky can beat this team without P.J. He's their leading scorer. He also controls the glass with Reed Travis. And Houston, they're a really tough team. They play great defense. They extend that defense. It's going to be tough for Kentucky to score. Now, if he's in the game and, you know, maybe 75%, I don't really know what the handicap would be. But check that status, and maybe you'll see the line drop as soon as that status comes out too.
Yeah, I have put on here, I've been looking at PJ Washington injury status like every morning in Google, and nothing's really come up yet, although I did see a report that Calipari claims his cast is supposed to come off today.
Right.
I'll believe it when I see
it. A hard cast for like 3 days.
but I think it would be pretty surprising if he suits up this week, and I also think that the line tells a story too that PJ is probably not going to play on Friday.
Right.
Currently sits at 2.5. And I'm probably going to stay away from this at least until I get some injury news on him.
Sure.
I may get involved a little bit later on. I do agree with you, though. If he doesn't play, Houston is a very live dog in this game. Their defense is really good. 12th ranked and number one defensive field goal percentage, which is definitely what you're going to need to beat that Kentucky team. Fifth ranked in the interior defensive percentage too. And I was surprised to see that their rebounding metrics are pretty good, which is one area where I thought Kentucky would have an advantage. So I really don't see much of a big advantage for the Wildcats here other than the coach, Calipari, probably.
Yeah, great coach. It looks like, I was just looking at your screen here, it looks like 72% of the money is on Houston.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit early in the week. Definitely don't want to take that to the bank yet, but 50% of the wagers and 72% of the money on Houston.
Interesting. Well, we'll see what happens. We'll definitely keep you posted and maybe check out the Twitter feed and see. We'll retweet as soon as we see that injury information.
Yeah, jumping back real quick, we skipped over my total pick the Duke game. Mm-hmm. No problem. I'm going to be playing under the Duke total 144.5 just based on the way that this team has been an under machine all year. They did go over in the last game versus UCF, but I think that was attributed to Johnny Dawkins' great night.
Mm-hmm.
Aubrey. But I do think that Duke and Virginia Tech, knowing each other as well as they do, is probably going to be a little bit more of a grinded out game, and I like this under a lot.
Yeah, I think Virginia Tech's going to want to grind the game, right, to be in it. So, okay, well, let's just go quickly over our final four picks. It looks like we're still alive in both regards. We've got, I've got Duke, Gonzaga, Kentucky, and UVA. Obviously, PJ Washington is killing me here, both in our player pool, which I picked him in the second round, and in the final four in brackets. So I hope he comes back so they can make it. But if not, I think UNC is going to walk in there personally. What about you?
Yeah, same ditto here. I still like MSU in that top region, the East, I think it is. And I would probably swap out North Carolina for Kentucky at this point. I think it's going to be very hard-pressed for them to get into the final four, especially if Washington doesn't come back. But still do like Gonzaga and Virginia in the other two regions.
That's right. So we're still alive. A lot of people are still alive out there. So we'll see what happens. All right, well, just a reminder, come out Friday, if you can, to the Wegg's pool party, and we'll do a live broadcast around 5 o'clock, assuming Rob's going to let us do it. We'll do a clandestine one if not. And that's at 2758 North Ashland at the Four Shadows. We'll have a great time. And then, obviously, check the Twitter feed just in case, you know, for PJ Washington status and other picks that Action has. And that's at Side Action Pod on Twitter.
Yeah, I'd be looking forward to posting some second half plays this week and even full game plays. And even if we don't get on the microphone Friday night, come out and join us. We're going to be partying, watching games, live betting on Michigan State, and enjoy a beer with us. And we'll probably have some more coasters on hand as well.
Yeah, have more coasters, free coasters, everybody. And then I will have some food, not a ton of food provided, little wings, some nachos. You know, that's what I do for the Wegg's pool. So
free food Chicago. Come on out.
Free food. That's going to be thousands of people there now. But anyway, we'll follow me personally at Wegg's pool on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
And again, follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Hopefully, it looks like the listenership's picked up during the tournament quite a bit.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate you following us and getting some insight from us. I know many of you are doing well in your brackets and your pools and your picks. And hopefully,
we're looking at you, Melissa.
Hopefully, you can attribute some of that to our knowledge.
Exactly, because we're not doing as good. So, all right. Signing off.
Peace. That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens, and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.